Well, hello. How are you, everybody?
Great.
Come on in.
We're ready.
All righty. You know, this, have you ever had a project that you were wanting to do or that you started to do, but it's not done?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that if we put, even with the few people we have in this room, if we wrote it all down, started a book, we could probably write an encyclopedia of projects that were dreamed about but never started, were talked about but left undone.
Yeah.
I know for myself, I have dozens of books that I have either half read or half written.
Come on.
It's amazing what we can end up doing. You know, I came up with this great idea when we were in North River. I says, we should have a men's breakfast every month. And I took it to the elders, and they said, that's a great idea. Why don't you do it? I had no idea what to do. I started talking to people, and I realized I'm not doing that one either. It's quite the thing. You know, right now, a big project that I have, it's not really not started. It's just I haven't done anything physically about it. The brothers has even stopped asking me about, so when is your shed going to, what's your shed, where's it going to be? What's it going to be? How big is it? You know? And nobody has any answers because it's not there. But hopefully, prayerfully, we'll get that done. But the reasons, what are the reasons for that? Laziness, lack of commitment, lack of resolve. There's just so many reasons, and wait a second, they're excuses, not reasons, why we don't get projects finished. Today, I'd like to talk about a master project builder and designer, and a plan that he's been working on now for more than two millennia. Turn over with me, if you would, to Matthew 16.
Donald.
In Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." You see, this is something that for many, many years, I've read this, and my understanding of it was something like insight, Peter, and that's what I'm going to build my rock on. That's right, I am the Messiah, the Son of God, and that's what I'm going to build my church on. But I think that it could be a little bit different than that. You know, I've come to another understanding recently that Jesus is maybe saying that, yeah, that confession is part of my church. That is a foundation stone in my church. But the place where they were, Caesarea Philippi, first of all, in chapter 15, Jesus is up here with his disciples. And then they travel down here, and this is where we pick up in Matthew 16, and then they crossed over by boat, and then they walked up here 25 miles to get to Caesarea Philippi. And that Caesarea Philippi was on the way to nowhere. Mount Hermon, I guess, if you want to go up on a mountain. It wasn't on the way to anywhere, but Caesarea Philippi actually had a very prominent place in that part of the world, that the Near East. Caesarea Philippi was has been a place where men came to worship since before recorded time. The ancient Canaanites worshiped there at this place. And this here is a place at Caesarea Philippi where they were, and it was called for hundreds of years the Gates of Hades, because the people who worshiped there believed that this was the entrance to the underworld.
Wow.
They believed that the gods went away for winter, and they wintered in the underworld by going back through there. So this place, it had names. Let's see, some of the names that we can find out there. Some of the names that it was called Peneus, and there were a lot of other names there. But this place, Jesus, this is where Jesus took them. Could he have been saying that on this rock, that's where he's going to build his church? And all that's going on, that's such a pagan place. Yeah. The Jews who were with him, the disciples, can you imagine their sense of morality? Their sense that God wouldn't want me to be anywhere near this place.
Right.
You know, what are they? Spidey senses going off.
Yeah.
And this is where Jesus took them. And he just took them there to have a conversation. What do we learn from the conversation that he had with these guys, with his disciples? First, we learned that everybody's talking about Jesus. And the disciples had heard it. Jesus, I'm sure he probably heard it too. But, you know, some people say that he's John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the prophets come back from the dead. They wanted people talked about who is he really, or what is he all about? What is he trying to get at? I don't get it. Jesus always talking in parables and leaving people guessing, really. And another one that the Pharisees asked Jesus on a number of occasions, where does your power come from? Where's your authority come from? So people were really talking about him. And what Jesus said to Peter is just, man, it must have tickled his heart to hear this from his Lord.
That's right.
He said, yeah, you're right. But this wasn't revealed to you by anyone. I didn't tell you I was the Son of God. I didn't tell you I was the Messiah. This was revealed to you by God himself. You know, God has to speak to us, each of us as disciples. We study the word. We try to become more and more like Jesus. But without God speaking to us, to call us to change who we are, change our way of life, our way of speaking. I'll tell you, when I was a young disciple, I got rebuked. I got people angry at me all the time because of the way I spoke, the things I said. It was not fun being around me. being my friend. But God has spoken to me a number of times about how I've got to change. And this was something Peter heard from Jesus himself. God has spoken to you. That's amazing. I wanted to show you something. Oh, it's up here now. You see, this is the definition of the word Hades. It's the name Hades or Pluto, the god of lower regions. It was sometimes called Orca, Orcus, the netherworld, you know, the place of the dead. This is the place where Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is an artist's rendition of what it would have looked like at the time of Jesus. You notice there are several temples. This one would be the Temple of Pan, that's the big cave in the back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then various other ones. And every one of these little things is a shrine that's to one god or another.
Wow.
It's a remarkable place people just worship. We were created to worship. But unfortunately, most of us have not been to that, or most of the world has not found the right thing to worship.
Right.
But this reminds me, what we're talking about, of a story, a verse in Ephesians chapter 6,
come on, bro,
in verse 11.
Come on, Donald.
Paul writes to the Ephesian church, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Mm-hmm. Jesus told his disciples that the gates of Hades will not prevail against his church. You're looking down at this, all this paganism. Mm. They're looking down at this. Mm. And he says, none of that will be able to overcome my church. And I have learned something recently, or realized it recently, that Jesus said the gates of Hades will not overcome his church. What are gates? Gates are a defensive tool. They are not an offensive tool. It's not as if these big gates are going to come running after the church. No, the gates are there because Satan does not want us to go and get the souls that he's stolen from God.
That's right.
The church is not a defensive organism. We are not supposed to be hiding in the corner in the dark, hoping that the devil won't see us. We are commissioned. We are the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And our commission is that we will be charging the gates of hell. We are intended by God to take plunder. You know, that's a great word when we're talking about offensive and defensive. To plunder what is behind the gates of hell. And that is the souls that have been stolen from God. And he's called us to go in and plunder against that.
That's right.
I just want to show you a couple more things about this. This is another picture from archaeology.
Wow.
You know, so much of it is still there.
Wow.
You see that gate that way up there? It's
right.
Very ominous looking.
Mm-hmm.
See all the little shrines that are still in there today?
These were
all shrines to pagan gods. These were people would go and worship. I mean, they were standing side by side, according to whichever one they're coming to worship. And the things that happened here, the kind of worship, I don't know if there was human sacrifice, but there were animal sacrifices, and there were pond, the one on that, the big one that goes there, his the people worshiping, they were, Mardi Gras was, you know, was a birthday party compared to what was going on in the worship upon. It was just such a vulgar thing. But we are called to put on the full armor and to assault that. We're not supposed to go running and hiding and stay, oh, I can't go over there. They're sinners.
Right,
no,
right.
We're supposed to be snatching them from the flames.
Amen.
I just wondered, how did the disciples feel being brought to this place? I mean, it was bad enough when they went over to the other side on the, the map is gone. When they came down here to the Decapolis, there they only had one legion of demons to deal with. But up here, oh my goodness,
right.
What was going on? One of the things, the reason why they decided that that was the gates of hell or gates of Hades is because there used to be an underground spring that came up through that cave. That's where it came out and poured out. What you can see here is the position of the, where it comes up out of the ground is now moved. But it's quite a stream. Look at the waterfall.
Yeah, yeah.
It originally was coming out of there. And that's really what gave them the whole idea that this is the place where the gods go. We know that the gates are defensive, that Satan is afraid of us.
Right, yeah.
That doesn't sound like what most of us think about for the church. You know, that we think of the church as being, you know, we're just being nice and trying to stay out of the way. But no, that's not. Satan has really taken note of what we're doing here in Jackson, even.
Right.
You know, this little church, we've had 5 baptisms, I believe, in the last year or so. So, did I miss a scripture here? I think I did. Yes, Matthew 11:12. Come on. Okay, in Matthew 11:12, Jesus is speaking. This is a short time after he found out about John the Baptist's death. And he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He's saying in our NIV, it says that forceful men lay hold of it. It's been forcefully advancing the kingdom of God. You know, that's what we're all about, the kingdom of God. And it's been forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women lay hold of it.
Amen.
It's not the weakness that is portrayed. How many pictures of Jesus have you ever seen? The all the important paintings, and he's first of all, he's white, which we all know he wasn't. He's not a man that we would consider strong and powerful, that the way that they portray him. But in Matthew we see that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. The church is forcefully advancing against the gates of Hades. And just a little bit further down in verse 16, I had a revelation this week about this. To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. You know, August 5th will be 39 years since I was baptized.
Wow.
And until this week, I was always baffled by that. I just did not understand what Jesus was saying there. Mm-hmm. Have you read this and wondered what on earth is that about? I finally figured it out. He's referring back to this kingdom that is forcefully advancing. Forceful men lay hold of it. And then he's looking around at the crowd he's seeing. Whoa. You know, John the Baptist came and you said, he's just too severe. I can't accept that. And then the Son of Man comes and you say, oh, he's a libertine. Nobody wants, he can't lead us anywhere. He's a friend of sinners and tax collectors. Mm-hmm. And then maybe he's even gonna say, if the Father himself came down from heaven, you might find reasons to dismiss him as well. Wisdom is proven right by her deeds. He said, the people that I'm looking for, that's these forceful men and forceful women who will pledge their lives, pledge their hearts to seeking and saving the lost, to forcefully advancing God's kingdom.
Right.
Those are the people I'm looking for, and I'm not seeing them. That's what he's saying. And it felt so good when I realized that, you know, a lot of times I can speak foolishness and nobody knows what I'm talking about because I didn't know. But this was all, I knew Jesus wasn't foolish. I just couldn't understand it. But now I think I do, you know. And so regardless of the decisions that we make, the kingdom of heaven will continue forcefully advancing.
That's right.
The kingdom of heaven will continue to break in against the gates of hell. Souls will continue to be saved. But are we the kind of people that are going to lay hold of it?
Come on.
Do you have a heart to risk your own honor, your own reputation? Do you have the are you powerful to just grab hold of it and not worry about being rejected? That's who God calls us to be. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says that the kingdom, the church, is forcefully advancing. And I know that the church is not the whole kingdom, but the whole church is in the kingdom.
Right.
And that's what we're all about. The kingdom of God is going to continue to forcefully advance in Jackson.
Amen. Amen.
And in Rankin and Hines and Madison counties. The kingdom is going to forcefully advance. You know that train, that song that we sing, Back Train?
Yeah. Get Right Church.
Get Right Church. Yeah. That train that is forcefully advancing, that kingdom of God, it is not going to stop and come back and pick us up.
That's right.
We have got to have the faith and the courage and the trust in God to reach out and jump on as it goes by. You know what? In Boston, I don't know if they still have them I know they probably still have them in San Francisco, but trolley cars, where, you know, they're just open cars and people jump on and off whenever they, when they want to go somewhere, and when they get there, they jump off. And it doesn't stop. You know, that's kind of the picture you want, although it might be moving faster than that, but it won't be too fast. The kingdom is not going to go too fast for you to reach out. The train will be, you will be able, God has empowered you to reach out and jump on.
Amen.
Amen.
That's, you know, in the first century, Jesus found his crew, you know, his band of disciples. I just was trying to be a little bit relevant in this 21st century. He found his crew. But in the most unusual places, places that, that rabbis and religious people would never go to look for disciples. You know, he went to the tax collectors, and he went into the camps of the murderous zealots. They were committed to killing because of what they believed in God. You know, he went and called to be disciples women possessed by demons and the wives of high palace officials. But these are not the kind of people that you think are going to build a religious force. What about today? Where's Jesus going to find his disciples today? Where's he going to get his crew? You know, unemployed college graduates, business owners, retirees. Yeah, we can do a lot.
Yep.
We don't have to feel powerful to be powerful, because we believe in a powerful God.
That's,
and
this,
right.
This is what God is calling us to, each of us,
yes,
to be forceful advancing his kingdom.
Right.
You just have to trust God, have the faith that if you open your mouth, if you reach out, you will make a difference in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just say, who's on board? Who's gonna do it? The kingdom of God is breaking into this world, forcefully breaking in, because this is where the kingdom of hell is. This is where the gates of Hades are. Not just in Jackson, but they sure are here. Are you going to be on board? Are you going to be forcefully advancing? The gates of hell are taking note, and they're preparing to stop us, regardless of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We can confidently know that the gates of Hades will not overcome God's kingdom,
Amen.
Jesus'
Amen.
Church. Thank you.
Amen.